Welcome into the B-Section Podcast. I'm Kirk Loveson, joined today by David Goff and Logan Hill. And today we are brought to you by Legacy Motor Company, located on Elmira Street in Sayre, across from Lowe's, bringing you a variety of used vehicles every week. Stop down and check out what's new or view their inventory online at legacymoco.com. So big shout out to Legacy Motors for coming aboard the podcast for this football season and being a new sponsor. We're excited to have them.
I'm happy to hear about the new sponsor, and the gears in my head, you see what I did there, are already thinking about what we can do with that. So shout out to Legacy Motors.
Very excited. Locally, let's recap what went on last weekend. We will start in Delaware, where Logan Hill was.
Of all places.
Yeah, very strange to say that out loud, but Troy beats Dover 8-3. Logan, tell us about it.
8-3. So Wilmington, Delaware, it was the Mid-Atlantic Pigskin Classic. It was a three-day series of games with teams from all around the tri-state area, the Mid-Atlantic area, I guess. Tri-state might not be the right way to phrase it, because there was teams from Maryland. I think there was a team from New Jersey.
Okay.
Team from PA, obviously. A couple of teams from Delaware. That might have been the four. And so Troy played Dover in the last game of the slate. It was Saturday night, 8 o'clock start. And so I made the trip down. Because I was able to go home afterwards. It was only 90 minutes back to where I'm from originally, instead of 3.5 hours back up the Pennsylvania roads at night. So I got there, and actually a Maryland team was playing beforehand Troy's game. It was Mount St. Joe, which is a private school in my area. So that was pretty cool.
I was going to say, you knew who they were.
My cousin went there. My uncles all went there. I didn't go there, but I knew the school pretty well. I actually saw my old high school gym teacher. I guess he had a kid or a nephew or something on the MSJ team. So they won that game, and that was an exciting game beforehand. Luckily, I was able to just kind of watch it as a fan. Troy game. Troy gets the ball first, and on their second play, they turn it over. So as a sports writer, you're like, okay, what is going to be in store here tonight? Troy doesn't do that, right?
Yeah.
And so Dover, I think on their first play, after the fumble, rips off like a 36-yard gain. And I'm like,
I'm like, uh-oh.
So Troy's able to shore up and hold Dover to a field goal. They get 3 points. They go ahead 3-0. It sits 3-0 for a while. It's back and forth. Neither offense is really getting anything done. Troy's biggest advantage in the first half, and when I was covering the game, I tweeted this, was Lincoln Shimmick's at the punter position. He twice in the first half pinned Dover inside their 6-yard line. One went out at the 4, one went out at the 6. And Dover, it was their first game of the year. They look like it was their first game of the year, because they would have those backed up fields, and I think each time they would start with like a holding penalty or a false start. So then you're going half the distance. So 1st and 10 from the 6 becomes 1st and 13 from the 3, but you're still backing up and you're that far behind the sticks. So they're getting ready to punt. It's halftime's coming up. I think there's probably 5 or 6 minutes, and they're lining up to punt out of their own end zone, back against the wall. And I start walking the other way to cover the punt return. I have my camera. I got to shoot the punt return, trying to get the yard line. And I say, okay, the only thing I'm going to miss if I walk down here now is a potential safety. Turn my head, ball set over the head of the punter out of the back of the end zone, safety. It is 3-2 in a football game. I think there was 4 minutes to play. I could have that wrong in the first half. So then a couple drives later, Troy gets the ball back. One play, incompletion. Next play, 52-yard rushing touchdown for Mason Smith. Just reverse field on a reverse inside run and broke free, dove for the pylon, hit it. 8-3, they go for 2, don't get it. So it's 8-3 going into halftime, and that was the way it stayed the second half. It was one of the most fun defensive battles I've probably covered in my time covering high school sports, and that's not an extensive time, but so far to this point. And it goes back and forth. Troy had a chance at a field goal to go up. They would have gone up 11-3, so it gives you an 8-point lead. They can't get the snap down, and they end up getting tackled. So they turn it over, and that's when I for Troy's sake, got concerned. I was like, uh-oh, you open the door back up. Because Dover marched right down the field. They get into a 4th down territory. And on 4th down, with inside the 20-yard line, they throw for the end zone. Joseph Fry intercepts it. It was like, there's your moment right there. So then Troy had to try to run out the clock. Dover had 2 timeouts. They couldn't run it all the way down. So they have to punt it back with like 30 seconds left. 3 Hail Marys, none of them good. Troy leaves with an 8-3 victory. And as soon as I put that out, everybody who's anybody could say, this looks like a baseball score. Are you sure you weren't covering a baseball game tonight? But it was a defensive, slugfest where Troy's punter was their best weapon.
Talk about the points per game average going way down.
Well, that's exactly you say that. I was finishing my story Saturday night, and I guess I hadn't thought about it. I was like, okay, so a week ago they scored 84. Their offense was on display, right? This week it was their defense. So I was able to throw a line in there about that. This week they'll have South Williamsport, and what should be...
I think that's a good
one. You would think it would be a good game. Canton, and I'm sure we'll get to it, Canton played South close this week.
Yeah.
But... where did you want to go next?
Let's go back to the Valley for David. Athens tops Northwest 44-6.
Yes.
Tell us what we saw last weekend, David.
Saw a complete game from Athens, and that's kind of what I use in my headline of the story as well. But everything was working for them. The biggest thing in the first half that allowed Athens to pull away was there were two costly special teams turnovers from Northwest. That one was a muff punt that set up an immediate 23-yard run for a touchdown from Connor Davidson. And then there was a couple touchdowns after that. It was probably a fumbled kickoff by Northwest at the 11-yard line that Athens scored a few plays later on yet another Connor Davidson run. Connor Davidson ran for 171 yards on 12 carries. Not bad. He had a 69-yard touchdown near the end of the first half. It was 35-0 at halftime. There's a running clock in the second half. There was those two fumbles on the special teams plays. There were two interceptions from Athens against the quarterback who threw the ball a lot and pretty well. Jason McCoy of Northwest. We were playing high school football here.
I was going to say, if they were playing Northwestern, that would be a story to tell.
Might be a decent game.
That Jason McCoy of Northwest was like 21 of 34 for 234 yards. Not a bad day, but there were also two picks in there. So Athens defense showed out. I mean, the only touchdown Northwest scored was their second to last possession of the game when all the backups were ultimately in for Athens defense. But credit to Athens second team defense that with no time left in the game, Northwest was inside the 10-yard line. And I can't remember who it was. I wish I remembered the player who it was, but the Athens defender swatted the ball right out of a Northwest receiver's hands in the end zone to keep it 44-6 as time expired. So they're playing from minute one to minute 48. It was all Athens. It just was. So it was really encouraging for head coach Sean Bradley to see that. And now they go and face a Canton team this weekend that also beat Northwest by a similar score. That was 42-6. This was 44-6 in Athens' favor. Now Athens has the chance to go up against a better team than Northwest and see where they really might stand.
That's a Saturday game?
Yeah, jump the gun. I think that might be the NTL game of the week this week.
Okay. We'll wrap up the Valley. North Penn Mansfield, blank Sayre, 35-0.
Yeah, a bit of setback for Sayre.
Offense just couldn't get it going again?
Pretty much. I don't have the stats in front of me right now, but they were pretty small stats, and that probably a bit disappointing for the coaching staff, just because, you know, and we talked about it last week, about how the first 5 minutes against Troy was, you know, pretty good.
Yeah.
They just couldn't get anything going last week, but...
Good news for Sayre, Montgomery this weekend.
Who they beat last year.
They beat them last weekend. They both come in without a W.
Home game.
Yeah. Good chance
first
for
first home game of the season.
Good chance there for Sayre to right the ship.
And that's what I was going to say is in the case of North Penn Mansfield, that's who Sayre had last week, correct?
Yeah.
I don't want to speak wrong. That was their home opener. They got their butts kicked week one, so they wanted to respond, and they did. So that's what you would hope a team does in their home opener. So
yeah.
Sayre will get the chance to do that this week.
The next 3 weeks for Sayre seems to be Montgomery, Northwest, and Kaunaskia Valley. Three teams that Sayre, if they want to get on the win
Real
call more than they were last year, these are the opportunities, it seems like, for them this season.
Keep an eye out for those three games in the coming weeks. Back up to 20 there, Towanda falls to Hughesville, 42-6, Logan. And I believe while losing, they stay unbeaten, 37-0 over Kaunaskia Valley. What stuck out to you in those two contests?
Towanda, I don't have too much. We had Garrett Carr cover that one. He did a great job early this season covering two games for us. He covered
Athens
week one, I was trying to remember, and then he covered Towanda. Basically, Towanda was starting a freshman quarterback. We talked about it, and week one was like, how's that guy a freshman? And then week two, I'm sure you probably, if you were a fan in the stands, maybe had a case of, okay, there's the there's the freshman wall that you kind of expect, right? And that's not to say that the whole team probably didn't play well. I wasn't there, so I can't speak to it directly, but this was a Hughesville team. They played tough last year. Hughesville probably remembered that, probably wanted to get their get back. It was a week. It was their home game, right? Tawanda had to go down there, so just really couldn't get anything going. I think turnovers plagued their offense a little bit, and hopefully I'm not speaking out of turn on that. So the caveat for Tawanda is Riley Vanderpool enters back into the fold this week. So it was probably one of those games you want to flush it. I'm sure they were very happy with what they got from Reese Slider in the 2 weeks that he was kind of called into action. And I don't know if we glossed over that last week. I don't know if we talked about it at hand, but to ask a freshman quarterback to kind of just step into a starting role is a big ask, really. And we kind of maybe gloss over it. Like Connor Davidson was a true freshman last year.
Yeah.
But like you're going up against juniors, seniors, and you're, there could be like a 4 year age difference there, but you just got to go get it done. So to go 1-1 in this stretch, I'm sure Tawanda is fine with the way things played out, and they're going to look to keep rolling. And I'm curious to see where Reese Slider will be able to contribute this season, not playing quarterback. Do they use him as a runner? Do they use him out as a wide receiver? Maybe
that will be interesting.
Because you have him, and I don't assume the plan is to just to make a NFL kind of reference. I don't think you're just going to hand him a clipboard now.
Sure.
But elsewhere, I mean, Tawanda has that senior heavy group, and that's going to be kind of the story with them all year, is can they meet the expectations they kind of have for themselves? So I don't have a whole lot else on that game. They got some points in the end zone, so you don't leave home with a goose egg.
Tawanda, they'll get North Penn Mansfield Friday night. Logan, that's where you're going to be. I expect Tawanda to get back on the winning track again this week.
So it's bittersweet might not be the way to think about it, but the first NTL football, the second NTL football game I covered was North Penn Tawanda in North Penn in Blossburg. So they're coming to Tawanda this time, and it's going to be, it works out. Like I said, Riley Vanderpool's back. It's his senior year. He's got to be excited to finally be hitting the field in real live game action. And it's a home game for Tawanda. So they're going to look to get to 2-1, and they're playing a North Penn team that's still, I think, figuring a lot of things out. They got a new quarterback in the fold this year in Cooper Shaw, and figuring out what works, what doesn't work. Do we want to run the ball more? Do we want to try to drop back and pass it? Do we want to focus our defense in the front seven? Do we want to drop back? So I think there's still a lot of questions to be answered with. And I was talking to another reporter the other day. Tawanda, and I went from covering Tawanda week one to Troy week two. Tawanda runs much more of a spread than a lot of the teams around here. So it's a lot easier to tell who has the ball as a reporter. I can't speak to the defense, but Troy lines up with three backs behind the quarterback, and I'm like, okay, who did that handoff go to?
Right.
But I digress.
Been there before.
Yeah. So the other game that you had on that sheet was...
Yeah, Wyalusing stays unbeaten, still using that old school playbook. Not a lot of the air raid out there in Wyalusing, but hey, it's working. They win 37-0 over Cowanuski Valley. They're 2-0. And a quick side note, as we're talking today, they're either 2-1 or 3-0. They played Wellsboro last night. So we obviously record earlier in the week. We don't have that result for you. We can't speak to that result. What we can do is recap last week, and it was another Wyalusing win.
I don't think that they go by like NTL East and NTL West anymore, but Wyalusing is getting an NTL West tour to start the season. They opened at home with North Penn Mansfield, then they went to CV last week, and now they go out to Wellsboro for Thursday night football. And I think Wyalusing could get through this season without completing more than 10 passes if they really have it their way. Obviously, not every game's going to go that way, but they win over CV 32-0, and I counted...
Oh, 32-0, okay.
Yes, I'm sorry. What did you have?
I think I had 37-0, yes, but that could be a typo on my
30,
part.
32-0. They had... Let me count it up right here. They had three runners with at least 12 carries, two runners with at least 120 rushing yards, three different runners with a touchdown, and they had 53 rush attempts total for 420 yards.
Wow.
They are running rampant all over.
They're sticking to their strength. I mean, I know it's kind of a little bit of a joke saying that's not the air raid out there, but to their credit, stick with what works. Stick with what got you to the dance, right?
And I think you missed the pun there. Ramp, ram, pins. Wyalusing Rams, ram.
Yeah, but David, you see, that's called a low-hanging fruit, and sometimes I like to leave them there.
Let's go over one more time what to look forward to this weekend in the NTL, and then I'll let you both kind of give me, maybe you agree, maybe you don't, on what the NTL game of the week will be. Troy, they're going to play South Williamsport in a good one. Athens, they're going to go to Canton on Saturday night for a good one. It looks like Sayre's going to get Montgomery in what's also, I'm going to repeat myself again, a good one despite the record. Both chances for each, a good chance for each team to get right there. Towanda, they're going to play North Penn Mansfield at home Friday night. And then Wyalusing is at Wellsboro. That was last night. We don't have that result. What of those games this weekend sticks out as the best to you guys? Go ahead, David.
Okay. Remind me real quick, who did Troy play in the district final? That was Southern Columbia. Never mind. Southern okay, Columbia. So it wasn't South Williamsworth. Are they? They're all Class A though. That was is Troy
South,
Class A?
No, Troy's 2A. Okay. South moved up this
that's
year.
Why I was, okay. That's why I was confused because
Canton South played to begin the playoffs in A last season, but okay. South has since moved up to 2A, so they'll be 2A this year.
Okay, so they were single A last year.
They were single A. Gotcha. Yes, they so went to the state semifinals.
Okay, sure. So yeah, that's what I was going to say is yeah, Troy. They were in the district final. That muddy game against Southern Columbia was 14-0. Who knows? In a normal setting, maybe Troy goes in the maybe Troy goes out on top. Who knows? Facing the team that made it to that state semifinal in South Williamsport, so it's easy to say those two teams, that game being the game of the week, because those are two pretty good teams, especially from last year. And Troy is as strong as they've ever been this year. I will go Athens Canton, and that's kind of just me seeing what Athens did last week. Seeing that if they can play, if they're able to play like that consistently, they might have something. And
yeah,
Canton being the team that they are historically, if Athens can compete with Canton and even possibly come out on top at Canton on Saturday afternoon, that's going to speak volumes as to what Athens can be. So I don't know how that game is going to go, but it's a very interesting storyline, I feel like.
I agree. Where do you stand, Logan? Who's your David NFL game of the week?
David hit the nail on the head. I think it's Canton, Athens, and that's we glossed over Canton. They played South. They were supposed to play them last Thursday. Thunderstorms postponed it to Saturday. They won 17-8 in a game that was 10-8 coming down to it. They were able to pull away and go up by 9, so two scores. So they were able to take a win there, and that was they've kind of built a rivalry with South. They won't see him in the postseason this year because South moved up, so yep. That was the last matchup, and it was a good one. But I think it's the Canton-Athens game because, and exactly like I said, what David alluded to is, for Athens, it's, okay, we want to jump into this upper echelon across the NTL. For Canton, it's we want to stay there. So I think it could be a good game, and obviously you don't know until they start playing, and it could be one way or the other. It could be out of hand by the end of the first quarter. You don't know until they start playing the game, but similar results against Northwest. You'd like to think it's Canton home game, so you think that maybe tips the scales into their favor a little bit, but it should be a good one, right? And it's for Athens, I would think it's a moment like, hey, yeah, we have plans this season. Whereas for Canton, it's like, hey, yeah, we're not going anywhere. So I think it lines up, and it's on a Saturday, 1 o'clock. If you could get out to Canton, I would go. I think it'll be an exciting game. So.
Well, this seriously lines up then for one heck of a Saturday in high school football, because what is back this weekend is New York State football, and two defending state champions will take the field. And I love that Canton-Athens game is at 1 because Tioga is at 3 and Waverly is at 6. That all staggers nicely if you just want to make a whole Saturday chock full high school football. Both Logan and David will have you covered the whole way. Let's talk opening weekend for New York. It's the Waverly Game Day event. It was a great thing that was put together last season.
I think it's the third year.
Is it the third? Yeah. Down on Broad Street, they do a wonderful job of putting out vendors. There's a parade. There's all kinds of cool stuff that goes down on Broad Street before Tioga starts things off at 3 o'clock. So get downtown Waverly on Saturday morning and check all that out. I know there'll be plenty to do, plenty to see. Usually they have some players stop down too, which is really cool for a little bit of a meet and greet and whatnot. Really cool event set up. But as far as what goes down on the field, it all starts at 3. It's going to be Tioga versus Maryvale, David. It's Section 4 versus Section 6 all day, correct?
Yes.
That's what it looks like. This Maryvale team, I don't know what else to tell you other than they're two sizes bigger than Tioga, and they went 9-1 last year. So no easy test to start for Tioga.
It's interesting because Tioga, they've won 41 straight games. They're beating everybody by 50 points at this point. They have a lot of new skill position starters this year, so it's going to just be a little unique to see, especially on Saturday, to see them in action for the first time, see how it works. And, I mean, who would bet against Tioga to still be very, very good? Especially that offensive line is still the same as it was. That's a huge part of their offense, regardless of who's on the skill side.
That's a good point, too. If there's going to be something you don't want to have to rebuild or retool, it's the you know, it's the offensive line, the defensive line. They're settled there. They got plenty of guys coming
and
back.
And for however small Tioga really is, they get the athletes. They're finding the athletes to help them out. So why would that change? But it's going to be really interesting because, I mean, you got the whole day. You got two state champions, one state semifinalist, and a 9-1 team that I think they lost early in the playoffs. I guess they were undefeated in the regular season and lost.
Yeah, like, and look, if you're 9-1 in Section 6, that's something to write home about. It's good football out there. That's why I really like this idea of Section 4 versus Section 6 this year with two really good matchups and four really good teams. Logan, bring you in here. I know you watched plenty of Waverly last year as well. They're going to get Clyde Sherman, Panama, CSP, whose only loss last year was to the same team that Waverly only lost to. That was Tioga.
I have some breaking news.
Oh, what do we got?
Speaking of the game day. Speaking of the game day 2024 festivities, I just got a group text from Waverly Athletic Director Rich McIntosh saying the game day 2024 festivities on Broad Street have been canceled.
Oh, no.
It's supposed to rain.
Due to potential for heavy rains, the football games at 3 and 6 are scheduled to be played.
Okay. That's sad breaking news.
So that is unfortunate.
Very sadly timely.
So, and it's,
news.
That's, I wish, right I wish you wouldn't have checked your spiel. Phone. I wish you wouldn't have checked your phone because I was getting ready to go into this 2 minute about like, Tioga won a state championship. Waverly won a state championship. This parade is probably going to be off the chain.
Yeah.
Like, if you can get out to it, you should go. So, hopefully they reschedule something like that.
I think because of just how funny that is, we should leave this entire thing in.
No, I agree. And thanks for... I'm glad you broke the news.
Yeah.
We're about to talk about Waverly. And one thing Waverly has relied on, at least last year, was the passing game. They've had a great passing game. They have Xavier Watson, who is going to play at the next level at receiver. Again, they're playing a CSP team that went 11-1 last year, whose only loss was Tioga.
To Tioga in the state semifinal.
It looks like it could be heavy on Keithley going into this game. I don't know. Or who's going to play running back for Waverly this year? Any idea, David?
Fletcher Good. Colson Keithley. Peyton Fravel, who was... Is this Fravel or Fravel? I apologize. I really apologize if you're listening to this and I butcher that. But he was hurt in the state championship game. Bad knee injury. He's back. He's clear to play.
Rain means run.
But they have like four or five substantial running backs that can really impact the game. And I think that's where Waverly might be leaning toward the season. Actually, that's what Jason Miller told me when I did the season preview interview with him. He's like, we're going to be different. We don't have Joey Tomaso passing. We're going to be different in how we do this, but we're still, you know, they still believe that they're elite level. An elite level football team, and it's hard to disagree with that when you had the running back stable that they have, and then Ben Shaw, the sophomore quarterback, who's going to be starting for the first time. You got Xavier Watson out there, and Colson Keithley, as you say, he might be more of a slot guy just because of the running backs that they have.
Yeah, a little bit of a do-it-all player this year.
Ben Shaw will still have the weapons. I mean, Xavier Watson's a 6'5" high school senior who's going to UConn next year, so he's going to be.
Is he taller than you?
I don't. His hair might make him taller than me.
If I was your height, that would be my gauge.
Yeah.
Better chance to repeat as a state champion again this year. Waverly or Tioga?
That's a good question, Kirk. I was not prepared. I did not study for this test. My answer is Tioga, though, just because obviously it's not a knock on Waverly. They want a state title, but
a little bit of prove me.
But you want to know what's harder than winning a state title? Defending a state title. So,
and then doing it again, right?
So Waverly and Tioga's done it 3 times. Yeah. Right? They've won 3 straight. So I would say that they would have the easier path to repeat, until someone can prove
they can beat them.
Because they've climbed to the mountaintop and they've managed to stay there. So now it's Waverly's now got that similar Tioga target on its back. It's how are you going to respond, right? Everybody's going to be bringing their best to try to beat Waverly this season.
And all this is going to be really fun to watch the first 6-7 weeks of the season, whatever it was, because then Waverly and Tioga are playing each other at Tioga on October 19th, and we'll see how that game goes after how it went last year.
So my question to Logan was, who has the better chance to repeat? David, my question for you to help those that are going to go out and watch this weekend, one player from each team, Waverly and Tioga, to keep an eye on this weekend for opening week one. Let's start with the first game. Let's start with the 3 p.m. game, Tioga against Maryvale. Who should we keep an eye on for Tioga here in week one?
I would have to say Jaden Dungenson. He seems, I have to confirm this with ILO before I actually go there on Saturday. Yeah. But it seems like he's going to be the quarterback.
Okay.
He was the JV quarterback last year. The JV team is still also awesome.
Yeah.
So, and he also, because of those blowouts last year, he had a lot of playing time at the back end of these playoff games and stuff like that. So, he's he can run, he can throw. I'm sure he's going to be fun to watch. And it's honestly, it's kind of, I don't want to just stick with the quarterbacks for both teams.
I was going to say, I think I know who the second one is. For Waverly versus CSP, let me guess your answer. It's got to be the quarterback, right? Yeah, they're replacing a legend at Waverly.
It's
no pressure. No,
it feels weird to say that, but that's absolutely true.
It's absolutely true.
It's a tough spot to be in. But I asked him when I did the season preview article, I was like, so kind of what's your feeling about having to kind of replace Joey Tomaso? And he's like, I'm just going to be myself. I know I'm not going to fill his shoes. Like, that's
great answer.
He's not. Tomaso played for 5 years as the starter for Waverly.
Yep.
He set all these records. Ben Shaw, he's a sophomore. He's going to have 3 years as the quarterback. So it's not, he's not going to touch Tomaso's numbers. There's no reason to even try in that sense. And all he has to do is kind of rely on his teammates. There's a lot of teammates there that were huge, impactful players in the state championship run last year.
Well, that's the great thing, too. Not about replacing Tomaso, about starting as a sophomore, is to get the weapons he has right out of the gate, right? Mm-hmm. In terms of building confidence and momentum for yourself as a new starting quarterback as only a sophomore, what better way to start than, you know, getting Xavier Watson, having Colson Keithley, having a good defense to rely on when they take the field? I think he's in position to do really well this year, and I expect him to. I think we're going to see a lot out of Ben Shaw and a lot of growth, too, setting up what will be a really fantastic career as well.
And Ben Shaw, just like Dungannon with Tioga, Ben Shaw got into a lot of games last year, because of blowouts. And then Tomaso was banged up in the postseason at one point, so they had to put Ben Shaw in when the game was still kind of, you know, important at that point in time. Yeah. And when I was looking at it, Ben Shaw was like 10 of 13 in the passing game in his short time at quarterback. Not bad. Pretty efficient. So,
all right.
It almost always seems like the cop-out answer, but the two quarterbacks, just be into week one, see how they do in their first starts.
So that's your Saturday. That's your first taste of New York action. Logan, you got one more thing before we transition.
Just my last note on Waverly is that something I keep coming back to too. And David again alluded to it, is Tomaso was not 100% during that postseason run, right? He banged got the banged up knee. So, I mean, he didn't miss too much time. He was still out there, but
he kind of run like he wanted to.
The other players around him answered the call, right? Sure. They still won the state title. So I think that probably gives the guys that are coming back a lot of confidence going into this season.
Just to go back on that state championship day, that's kind of the cool thing about both Tioga and Waverly, in that, well, one, Tioga crushed Stillwater, and Waverly was in a close game in the fourth quarter. But both teams, both offenses, everybody had a part, like a significant part in those games. So it's, I mean, Tioga has, we'll see what their skill positions look like now, but it was just, that was the cool thing about last year, seeing everybody really contribute.
Yeah. Get out and check those games out. Again, Tioga versus Maryvale will be at 3 p.m. Tioga, reigning Class D state champions. Maryvale went 9-1 last year in Class B out of Section 6. Waverly's going to be at 6 p.m. They're going to play Clyde Sherman Panama, whose only loss last year was to Tioga.
They seem to be returning a lot of people, too.
Yeah, so a lot of returners. Two very good games. Two big tests for two state champions. Looking forward to that one. Again, that's Saturday. And as David broke earlier, there will not be the festivities downtown Waverly beforehand due to weather.
So, assuming these games still go on, bring an umbrella.
Yeah, looking like rain. Looking like a disastrous weather game, which can also make it very fun and very close.
Fortunately, a little bit.
Yep. Fortunately, they have turf, so it won't be like a messy field.
No. Who knows about wind? Who knows about conditions? But let's, before we move on to national, check in with our sponsor.
Sorry, I didn't mean to.
Go ahead.
Are we going to touch on the local stuff?
Sure. Let's do a word from Legacy Motors.
Let's do a Legacy Motors read first.
Legacy Motor Company, located on Elmira Street in Sayre, across from Lowe's, bringing you a variety of used vehicles every week. Stop down and check out what's new or view their inventory online at legacymoco.com. That's legacymoco.com. I just love doing ad reads.
That's a good read.
Love doing ad reads.
I like it.
Elsewhere, what do you have local sports-wise? We're really in the thick of things now.
Yeah, well, everything is just starting up, especially this is the first week of New York sports going. So, the only thing I really have been able to get out to since our last podcast was yesterday, Tuesday, was cross-country. It was the defending district champions, Northeast Bradford, with Towanda at Athens. That was my first time at Round Top Park. It's a heck of a drive to get up there. It's pretty bumpy.
Mm-hmm. That's out there.
I feared for my tires. But the one note I really had from that is Athens, Sarah Bronson, she was a state qualifier at cross country last year. She had a surgery last year that started her season. This year, she didn't have to deal with that for her first meet. She goes and wins by 37 seconds in the girls' cross-country race to begin her season. It's kind of funny because the boys start their race about 5 minutes before the girls do, and Sarah Bronson beat like two boys. The other thing was Athens' Graham Wink, who was also a state qualifier last year, he was not part of it because he's dealing with a bit of an injury, but he will probably be back soon, head coach Mike Bronson said. So that's really all I just had on that, but I figured we might go into a little bit of other local stuff.
I mean, soccer-wise, I've been to a bunch of soccer games in the last week. NEB, Wyalusing girls ended in a 0-0 scoreless draw after two overtimes. Exciting game, about as exciting as no goal scored can be, but those are two. NEB, I think, has played two games. Wyalusing has played five, and they're still unbeaten. They don't have a loss. They have four wins and a tie. So they're going to play Towanda on Wednesday. We're taping Wednesday afternoon, so that's a bronze helmet soccer game, okay. I guess. But so it's in Wyalusing again this year, but Towanda would like to find a way to win that one just because they need a win. They haven't found one yet this season, so Wyalusing's going to look to keep it going. Their goalie, Sophia Alvarez, has a clean sheet streak going dating back to the start of the season. Elsewhere, Troy girls soccer. Oh, this is an interesting story I didn't touch on. Troy girls soccer, they have one loss this year. They played in a Montoursville tournament over the weekend, and they lost their second game. But their first game they won, I think it was 1-0. Alexis McRoberts is on the Troy Canton co-op soccer team, played in the first game, went to the Canton football game, kicked in the Canton football game, went back to the Troy Canton co-op soccer game. So she played three games that day, two different areas. It's just kind of interesting, like, because we talked about before on this podcast, like, athletes doing multiple sports up here. It's a kind of a new phenomenon to me, but just to not only play two different sports, to have three games in one day.
In one day, that's a lot to ask.
That was a good one. And then yesterday, Tuesday, I was in Towanda for Troy Towanda boys soccer. Towanda boys soccer won. A couple of headers are where they got their goals. Corner kicks, good corner kicks into great headers. And they are 2-1 over 500 to start the season, which is, they said, feels really good. They've had some trying years in recent seasons. So to start out on the right foot is a good sign for them. That's really all major I have. I'm trying to think if I have anything else. David, anywhere else?
I believe that's all I have.
I like it. Good week last week of local sports. David and Logan, as always, will keep you up to date on everything as we move further into the fall season. We touched on NTL football. We got to the New York start of things. Now let's jump into some national stuff with the Philly Minute. 76 seconds. I know we got Phillies. We also have first game of the season tonight for the Eagles in Brazil, oddly enough. They play the Packers. And then after the Philly Minute, we'll get into some NFL picks and a little contest to get you out of here.
Before we delve into the Philly Minute, I'll save it for after.
All right.
I'll save it for after.
76 seconds on the clock. 3, 2, 1, begin.
There's way more pressure on this than there should be, I feel like.
I think the only one putting that pressure on is yourself.
Yeah, I just...
You speak for Philly.
I'm going to lament on Temple football for a minute. I'm very sad about the state of the program. I knew they were going to lose to Oklahoma. That's just... It's Oklahoma.
What was the final score?
51-3.
All right.
Not great. Matt Rhule was the coach at Temple the same 4 years I was there. It went from 2-10 to 6-6 to 10-4 and 10-4 with a win over Penn State and then a conference championship. It was like, oh my God, this is awesome. This Temple football might be real. During that time, they scheduled this 2024 game with Oklahoma. I'm like, oh, that might be cool. Temple might be a real program. No, Matt Rhule leaves. Three coaches since have all been disastrous, and it's very sad. And I'm
tough start for the
Owls. I forgot how much I really missed Matt Rhule until Friday night. I'm like, oh, that not only did they lose to Oklahoma, which is fine, but they got embarrassed. Stinks. On the other hand, the Phillies seem to be back. The other night, Kyle Schwarber had three home runs. The Phillies came back from a 6-1 deficit to win 10-9. Kind of a crazy game. I wish I would have been able to watch it, but I was unable to. But they seem to be kind of just, I hate the word. You hate to use the word back, but it seems like they're back and playing better baseball. And that was all. The only other thing I got is go Birds.
Go Birds.
That was time. I gave you an extra 10 seconds because me and Kirk kind of riled you up there at the beginning. Here's what I had for you, and I didn't want to sway your Philly minute, so I got this notification from Sleeper this morning before I came up the road to tape this podcast. The 76ers are seriously considering relocating to New Jersey when their agreement runs out in 2031-32, per, it looks like, Roin J. News. The reality is we are running out of time to reach an agreement that will allow the 76ers to open our new home in time for the 2031-32 NBA season. That's a quote, I guess, from... Who's their executive? Josh Harris?
Yeah.
Is that his
yeah.
name? And that's his picture. So, takes on the New Jersey 76ers.
I don't believe it's going to happen.
Okay. You think they get a deal done?
So, they want to... Their first idea, which is also kind of a controversial idea, is they want to basically put a new arena for themselves, like closer to Center City, which is already a controversial thing, but I would take that over...
The Jersey Sixers,
and it's kind of silly in the sense that they literally just be moving over to Camden, New Jersey, right across the river. Like it's just like it's not that big of a deal, but the only thing is I don't believe it's going to happen. But I also want Josh Harris to leave Philadelphia forever.
Okay. I like it.
The Jersey 76ers.
The Jersey Sixers.
No, that was the first comment. It said they would still only be like 30 minutes away. But I mean,
it's essentially the Jets and Giants in Jersey outside of New York.
The thing is the Philadelphia sports complex is just perfect. You got the Philly Stadium, you got the Eagles Stadium, you got the Flyers and Sixers Arena right there, and you got all the parking lot space. And it's, I mean, there's traffic, but like it's better than being in the city, and then also having Philadelphia fans having to go across the river. And
that's what I was going to say. I've only been there twice, and it was twice in one weekend. But I like the idea of having all your sports complexes in the same area. I get the idea of like wanting it to be closer to Center City, but traffic wise, that sounds like it's a good decision to keep it maybe just south.
Yeah, sure.
It's not that far.
And me personally, I wouldn't hate if they moved the new arena to Center City. I wouldn't necessarily hate the idea. Like, I don't mind taking regional rail into the city and having my car parked, you know, 30 miles away or whatever. But
That popped up and I was like, okay, we have to talk about this.
Yeah, today, I would like New Jersey to stop it.
I can't wait to check back in, and I can't wait to send David a text message in 2031 and be like, I can't believe they did it. So set your reminder for that.
Let's do some picks. Season MVP. We can rattle this off, and then we got a little contest to start today, and then we're out of here and on to another big weekend of football.
Can we start with MVP?
Yeah, let's hear your MVP for this season in the NFL.
Joshua Allen.
Okay.
I think this might be his year. I think
going to have to do a lot.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be the time to shine. I think he'll have the narrative help early, right? No Stephon Diggs. It's going to be like, oh, how does he respond to losing that weapon, right? Yeah. So, and I was thinking through it in my head when we talked about the script this morning. It would be so easy for me to come back in here and be like, Lamar Jackson's going back-to-back. I decided not to do that because I really think this could be Josh Allen's year. I had the thought like, oh, maybe Mahomes gets another one. But then I started thinking about who are in those upper echelon of quarterbacks that haven't got one yet. And Allen, to me, checks a lot of boxes this season.
I like it. David?
Joe Burrow. And not just because he's my fantasy football quarterback, but because I did pick the Bengals to win the division, and I feel like that's going to happen. Joe Burrow is going to show how elite he is again. And so I'm just going to go. It's all the eye rolls from Logan Hill. But yeah, I'll go Joe Burrow.
I'm gonna go out on a big limb. I'm going to say it's going to be a non-quarterback. It's going to be Christian McCaffrey.
Ugh.
I think it's going to be another year where he's healthy. I think when he is healthy, he's arguably the best player in the NFL. He can do everything. He can run. He can catch. He'll get your receiving touchdowns. He'll get your rushing touchdowns. And if he's going, so are the Niners. And if he's not, they're not doing much. That's value. And if we're talking the most valuable player to a Super Bowl contender, it's arguably Christian McCaffrey. So I'll go just to be different. And full disclosure, before David went, I was going to pick Joe Burrow. So we're going to switch gears. I'll go non-quarterback, and I say in terms of just pure value, if the Niners are going to get back, he's got to be the guy again.
You did give me such an emotionless look when I said Joe Burrow.
Like, it's because I knew you took my pick. All right. So Burrow, McCaffrey, Josh Allen are our picks. I'll write those down so we can kind of keep track as we go through the season of how they're holding up.
Johnny not taping with us anymore, not with us, still alive, but not with us anymore.
Yeah, he is alive.
I think he definitely would have picked Brock Purdy to be his MVP.
Yeah.
One big shout out to Brock Purdy just from Johnny Williams. Yeah,
absolutely.
So, new thing we're going to do this year, we're going to do, everyone is familiar with the Survivor pools. You see them all over the offices or on whatever apps you have. It's a contest in which you pick someone to win a game each week for the entire regular season. However, once you pick that team to win, you can no longer pick them again the rest of the season. Example being, if I picked the Jets this week and the Jets won, I advance to week two, but I can no longer use the Jets again for the remainder of the season. If I pick the Jets this week and they lost, just like that, I'm out.
Are you picking the Jets over the 49ers?
I am not. This is just
that was a good example.
Just an example. We're each going to get one mulligan, though, because there's only three of us, and we don't all want to be out by week four.
Then the fun's gone.
We get one wrong pick, but one wrong pick only.
I do have a question before we start, and I'm not sure how it typically works. I think in like bigger Survivor pools, for the purpose of this show, can we pick the same team?
Yes.
On a week-by-week basis. So hypothetically, we could both pick the Jets this week.
Yeah, no reason to try to be different. This is all about survival. You want to get to the next week no matter what, and I'm not going to limit you because someone else already picked it.
Gotcha.
With that said, I will start. Good sip of coffee there. No free ads.
No free ads. Legacy Motors.
Yeah, thank you very much again to Legacy Motors. We'll give them one more ad read as we close out the show. Glad to have them aboard for the rest of the season. Starting things off this week in the Survivor, I'm going with the Saints over the Panthers.
Okay.
The reason being is the Panthers might be the worst team in the NFL.
You may not pick the Saints the rest of the
year.
And
I might not get a chance for a automatic Saints win all season until they play the Panthers again. So I'm a little bit concerned because I don't really believe in the Saints either, but I believe in them more than the Panthers in week one at home in New Orleans. Give me the Saints as my first pick in week one.
You want to go next, David?
Sure. I'll pick the Bills over the Cardinals.
Okay. I love anytime someone picks the Bills.
I don't know. I don't think the Cardinals are good yet.
No. Got to go to Buffalo across country.
Yeah. And also, that's the other thing. So I don't know that I believe in Buffalo totally. So, like, I don't know that I'd want to pick them in week 10 or whatever.
Sure. Yeah. Good strategy pick. Logan.
I will go Buccaneers over the Commanders week one. I think the Commanders are going to be improved, but I think it's a rookie quarterback in week one going down to Tampa Bay, and I think the Bucs are just the better team in that matchup, so I'll go with the Bucs week one. Plus, like you said, I don't know how many times this season.
Yeah.
Plus, you don't want to rule out your big dogs right away, right? Like, you don't want to go 49ers week one so you can use them later. But I did not realize the Bills were playing at home. What's the trip from here to Buffalo like?
From the Valley? It's not bad. Get you up there in about 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Interesting.
It's shorter from here to Buffalo than it is to go watch a Giants or Jets game or an Eagles game. I think those are about 3.5 to 3:45. The Bills to Buffalo is about an hour shorter. So with that, again, David's got Bills over Cardinals. Logan's got Bucks over Commanders. I have Saints over Panthers. All those are off the board for each of us, except, you know, obviously you get one pick a week. That team you pick, can't use them again.
We have a couple minutes here, so let's close up. Let's talk the games that are relevant to us. So let's talk Eagles-Packers. That's going to be Friday night, so this could be
Brazil.
A sort of preview for it. Ravens-Chiefs, obviously, is Thursday night, so that game's happened by the time you're listening to this. And then Bills-Cardinals.
I'd say right out of the gate, and why David probably picked him, best chance to win is the Bills.
Yeah.
Bills-Cardinals, Bills at home. Cardinals got to come all the way from the West Coast for a 1 o'clock game. That's a pretty good spot for Buffalo to open up with. I like the Bills there. How do you feel about this game would have already happened? How did you feel going into Thursday hosting this? Or not hosting. Are you
is in it Kansas City?
In Kansas City, it's the Super Bowl champs.
Banner night, yep. Yeah. So, I mean, it's just hopefully it's another classic. Typically, the Ravens and the Chiefs play close for the most part. So, you hope this one, if you're from Baltimore, you hope this one goes the Ravens' way. I'm sure Kansas City would love to get the season started off 1-0. If you guys forgot, Taylor Swift. In a big part of Chiefs Kingdom. She's going to be featured probably 6 times. I think I saw an NFL promo commercial and she was in it 5 times. The quote tweet I saw was, MVP Lamar Jackson was in this video once and Taylor Swift was in it five times. So that just tells you where the NFL's priorities lie in terms of its marketing. But I think it's hopefully a really good game. It's going to be the debut of Derrick Henry as a Baltimore Raven. So they lost a bunch of pieces last year. They lose their defensive coordinator. Patrick Queen's a Steeler. Geno Stone's a Bengal. So it's going to be, you hope it's 1-2 in the AFC, right? If you're watching from Baltimore. So hopefully it's a really good game.
I like them to get Derrick Henry involved early in week one. I like him to score a touchdown.
The last time I watched the Ravens play on the first opener game of the season was when they were coming off the Super Bowl and they had to go to Denver because the Orioles had a home game that night as well. Yeah, Peyton Manning threw for 7 touchdowns.
Ooh.
I went to bed in the third quarter. Now I was in like middle school.
But that's so weird that they had to go to Denver because the Orioles were home.
Yeah, they wouldn't. Well, they're so similar to the Philly Sports Complex.
I've been there. Yeah,
they're both right next to each other. So I guess they decided it was a parking nightmare. But it's like, if you're the Baltimore Orioles, how do you not move that start time or something? Yeah, but they wouldn't budge. Or there was a concert or something. But for whatever reason, they became like one of the first teams ever to not open their season at home after they won a Super Bowl.
For better or worse, Philadelphia does not care. They'll have everything at every stadium that's possible.
Speaking of weird, Eagles, Packers in Brazil Friday.
We had this Peacock rant a few months ago.
It's strange. It's Friday night. Everybody in the country that likes football is either at a high school football game or playing in a high school football game. Weird to put it on at the exact time most of those games take place. Nevertheless, two great fan bases that'll still turn out and watch with Philadelphia and Green Bay. Two playoff teams from last year. David, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being extremely nervous, 1 being, no big deal. What's opening against the Pack? How do you feel confidence-wise winning?
I don't know how to answer that question anymore.
Any chance? 10 being you don't think you have a chance to win.
Oh, okay.
1 being, no big deal. I'm all right.
3-4.
Yeah.
Something like that.
That was not done well by me. but people get where we're going with this.
1 was feel really good about winning.
1 was chances to win, and then I reversed the 10s and the 1s.
Can we start this over?
How do you feel about the Eagles Friday night?
Out of a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being very confident in the game.
The Eagles? That's what I'm
looking
for.
I'm about a 6 or a 7.
Good hosting job, guys.
It's week 1 for
it's week 1 for all of us.
That's my favorite thing to say when it's early in the season.
This has been a messy podcast.
Yeah.
Some of that has been my fault. A lot of that has been my fault, to be honest. But out of a 10 being the most confident, I'm about a 6 or 7. Because I'm pretty optimistic about this season with the Eagles. The Packers might be real. They might be really good. Jordan Love might be really good. And so that's just the week 1 test right out of the gate. Also, week 1 is super fluky. You just don't know what's going to happen. You don't really know what your team is yet. Going into it, and you don't really know what your team is after the game ends either. So I don't really know.
I think that's where my original point was with the scale was, how concerned are you regardless of the result?
Yeah, so I don't really know how to answer. It's tough to answer the question because I just don't know what to expect and how I should react to what happens. But the overall point is I'm still pretty confident in the Eagles, but I also think back to last year where the Eagles won a very ugly, ugly week 1 game in New England, and it just like didn't matter. You wrote the game off, like whatever.
Yeah.
So I don't, it's hard to kind of quantify how I feel what this game is going to be like. I would pick the Eagles to win just because that's homerism. And also I still believe they're actually really good.
One more rapid fire question, then we're out of here. Other than your team, who's the one team you want to watch this weekend? For me, it's the Bears. I want to see Caleb Williams. I want to see if that team was really put together to succeed. Will all the pieces come together? Are they for real in a conference or in a division where they're going to have to really compete? I want to see the Bears this weekend.
New York Jets.
That was my answer, by the way.
Okay.
New York Jets. Just the Rodgers
is back. Yeah. Put him back on Monday night. That's a good one.
Yeah. See what he does with a full game of action in a Jets uniform. A
lot of football. The NFL is back. College another week. And, of course, we got high school football on Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday night. It's a big week. New York State's back. Get out and check as much out of it as you can. Logan and David will have you covered. And one more time, thanks to our new sponsor, Legacy Motors. Logan, hit us with the read.
Well, before the read, my last thought is you throw a stone, you're going to hit a football game this weekend.
Absolutely. So just, nothing wrong with that.
It's not a bad time of year, but one more word from Legacy Motors. This week's podcast has been brought to you by the Legacy Motor Company, located on Elmira Street in Sayre, across from Lowe's, bringing you a variety of used vehicles every week. Stop down and check out what's new or view their inventory online at legacymoco.com. That's legacymoco.com. You see, I've been driving a car that has over 200,000 miles on it. So maybe in the near future, I might be having to take a trip to Legacy Motors. So thanks to them for sponsoring us. And this has been the B-Section Podcast. We'll be back next week.
See you.